You are listening to Personal Branding Exposed with Megan McNeil. Each episode, we'll explore different areas of personal branding and how you can build, maintain, and leverage off your own personal brand. Here's your host, Megan.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Personal Branding Exposed. I am not your usual host, the lovely Megan McNeil. My name is Emma Burdett. You might also know me as 23 Fathoms Marketing and Immersion Underwater Photography. Today, I have a very special treat for you because I have got Megan in the hot seat and it is my turn to interview her about all things personal branding and, of course, her background and where she got to today. I am very excited about this and I would like to say a huge hello and welcome to Megan.
Hey, Emma.
How does it feel being on that side of things?
I don't know that I'm as comfortable as I am when I'm in the driving seat.
That doesn't really surprise me. You do like to be in control of things in the situation. So I imagine you're a little bit out of your comfort zone right now.
I am, but I trust you. I trust that you're going to ask me nice things.
Yeah, well, I've only got about 25 questions to go through. So
no. Everyone logs off and goes, nah, no time for that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, look, I am really, really stoked that I could be doing this today because I've been watching these series and listening to the podcast since you started. What are you up to now? Probably close to about 40?
I think we've got two to go and we'll be at 40.
See, not far away now. That is really cool. And you've had some great conversations with people about what they're doing. And it's just so great for me to be able to ask you some of these things and draw that out of you, because I'm sure lots of other people are interested to know your story too. So let's dive right in, shall we?
Okay.
Now, tell me, Megan, personal branding's your jam. We know that now. But has it always been? Is that what you envisioned yourself to be doing when you were at school and growing up?
Oh, no. I don't know that I ever really knew in school what I wanted to be. I'm sure my mom and dad could probably tell you what I maybe wanted to be as a kid, but I liked high school. I didn't love it. I'm not the kind of person that thinks my best years were in high school and that I would love to go back there, but I enjoyed it. I loved geography. Absolutely loved it. I had the best teacher, Mr. Adams, who might still be teaching there, actually. And we went on some amazing trips. Like, we went to Iceland. Like, who goes on a school excursion to Iceland? Like, I did when I was like 14 or something, and it was amazing. He was a brilliant teacher, so I really, really loved that as a subject. I managed them. I'm not particularly book smart, but I've got a good memory, so I could get through things okay. But I really had a passion for that. And careers counseling and stuff like that wasn't really like a thing in my school, where, you know, you would get someone who would be giving you all these different jobs that you'd be doing. And no one ever, like, I didn't know anything about personal branding back then. That wasn't even a word I would have ever said. And it was, you know, if you got the grades, it was more a conversation about what university are you going to and what are you going to study, as opposed to what is it you want to be at the other end. And I'm actually working with a client just now who thinks the education system is all wrong and has some ideas about how it should be improved. And I love that, because I really don't think that we get the best from people just sitting in a classroom, because quite honestly, what did I want to be when I was a kid? I don't know. I really don't know.
I think that's one of the great things about today and what kids are growing up with, is they really have unlimited opportunities. And I think it was great that sometimes you don't need to know, you don't need to have a plan. You can kind of follow your feet a little bit. So it kind of makes sense. But you got started in business pretty early. You got started at, what, the age of 22?
Yeah, so I went to university, did geography, and I did it with psychology. So my degree is geography and psychology, which is a really odd mix, a bit like me. I went back home to Fort William, which, if anyone knows Fort William, it's not a small country town, but it's a country town in the Highlands of Scotland. And there's not the same opportunities for doing anything a little bit outside the box. I loved events, because I thought that's what I was going to do once I had kind of thought about university and stuff. I thought I might go into events, because I love bringing people together. I love the buzz. I really love the pressure of events. I like the concept at the beginning, and then I love the pressure, the build up just the week before it and making sure it comes together. And then I get a real high from the actual event itself. So I thought I was going to go and do something like that. So I came home to Fort William, and basically there was no jobs like that. And I got offered my old job back in a hotel as a receptionist, which is the job I had before I went to uni. And I don't know, I was kind of like, really? I went to university and now I'm going to go and work in this hotel. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I just thought, why am I going backwards? And my mum was involved with a not-for-profit at the time. And I said to her, I want to organize a charity ball for you guys and I want to like make some money. And she was like, oh, well, sure. Like, you know, no charity is ever going to, or not-for-profit is ever going to say no to money. So I sat in the corner and I like organized this ball and I made this flyer and everything like that. And I think, I don't know that anyone took me particularly seriously at that point, but I made a lot of money for the charity, so much so that other people started asking me to organize events for them. And then I started doing like exhibitions in Fort William. So again, we've got a high street, but the majority of the shops would be outdoor, for outdoor activities like overalls, tents, all that kind of stuff, because it's very much an outdoor, well, it's the outdoor capital of the UK, so it's set up for that kind of stuff. And pubs, that's basically the majority of the shops that you'll find on our high street. Or at least this was 10 years ago. I know the high streets are really suffering now, but that was what you would find. So there wasn't anything too out of the box. So I started doing wedding fairs and baby and toddler shows, Christmas shows, all these kind of things. So there were like one-off events where I got suppliers from the whole of Scotland, from like Aberdeen all the way down to the borders, like people from everywhere. Like I was, you know, just went crazy in this. And it was an accidental business where I just started getting ideas and it just started perpetuating. And so yeah, I was doing these events and then people were asking me to do events and stuff. And it was pretty cool. Social media was pretty new at that point. And I was using Facebook really well to be able to get people to my events and also attract people from like other places to come into the town to sort of show their wares, as it were, to the local people. And so then I had local businesses asking me if I would manage their Facebooks for them. And I was like, oh yeah, cool. So I think I had half of Fort William, I was managing their Facebook accounts at the beginning, which was, yeah, well, I mean, I hate Facebook now. It's not my favorite place to be. I'm all about LinkedIn. So it's a kind of crazy start. And I wouldn't be able to help you with Facebook because it's changed so much. But yeah, in the early days, Facebook was my jam. Events was my thing. And then, yeah, then I ended up in Australia.
So hang on, we were all the way in the UK doing your thing, obviously building a reputation and a brand for yourself over there, because people knew to call you if that's what they wanted. So why the leap over across the ditch all the way over to Australia? How did that happen?
Ooh, well, I always wanted to go to America from being about 15. So you asked earlier what I wanted to be when I grew up. Didn't know about that, but I knew I wanted to go somewhere else. I wanted to go to America and do something else. It just seemed so exciting. And being from the UK, going to America isn't as massive a deal as obviously it is going to America from Australia, where it's like, you know, 2 days later and we might arrive type thing. So I'd been a couple of times. I just love America. Like I just loved it. I thought it was brilliant. Don't get me wrong. I think I've been like 6 times, so I haven't seen the whole of America or all that it has to offer. And right now I'm glad I'm not in America, but that was what young Megan wanted, was to go to America. And my best friend Olivia said, no, let's go to Australia, because she was going to come with me at this point. And I was like, Australia, spiders, sharks, snakes. I was like, nah, not for me. And then I started looking into it, and things like having a week's holiday in America, I was like, no, that's not going to sit well. Healthcare, because I was a little bit more grown up at this point. You know, it's a whole of 23, I think. Looking at healthcare and education, all this kind of stuff. And I thought, no, America's not really, like, it's a great place to go and visit, but I don't know that it's where I want to live and work, etc. Whereas Australia was a lot more aligned with what I was used to. And yeah, so Olivia never actually came with me, but I bought a one-way flight to Sydney. And yeah, I got there. First stop was Palm Beach, up to see if I could find a river boy up from Home and Away, because I was a Home and Away diehard. I got offered. I know. People don't think I'm being serious when I say that, but I was literally looking for Brax, you know. I thought I might find them, but little did I know Australia has winter. because I had given my little cousin all my boots and jackets because I was like, going to Australia, won't need these. It was June, it was cold, it was wet. The first thing I bought was a jumper. And I jump on this bus, it's like a 2-hour trip, so a 4-hour round trip just to go up to Palm Beach, where it's just Summer Bay, if you watch Home and Away, to see if I can find a river boy. And they're not even filming because it's winter. So I'm nearly on a flight straight back. I'm like, they've not sold Australia well. But
I guess that's the power of social media and everything else, you know. You've got to say it, it's smoke and mirrors sometimes, and you can't believe everything you see on social media.
Oh, 100%. You know, if we talk about personal branding, it's definitely the highlight reel that we see. You know, can't believe too much of it, can't compare yourself, etc. So yeah, that's me in Australia. Then I've jumped on a flight to Perth because I got offered a job here in Perth when I was still in the UK, which fell through before I even got on the flight. But you know, I'm 24 by this point. Was I 24, 23? I was 23, 24. At this point, I'm like, I've bought a flight, I'm going anyway. So I arrived in Perth, and what, 9 years later, 8.5 years later, I'm still here. So can't be that bad.
Brilliant. And you didn't meet a river boy, but you did meet a special boy. That's still a pretty, pretty good one. Actually, maybe even better than a river boy.
Oh, 100%. I met a Canadian in Australia.
Who would have thought? Worked out pretty well for you. And does Australia now feel like home? I know there's a lot you miss about home, but do you feel like this is your place and you're quite happy building your brand here now?
Yeah, it definitely is home. Like when I go somewhere, like I feel like I'm coming home here. But you'll know as much as I do, because you know New Zealand's your other home as well, that you know when you've lived somewhere else, and not just lived somewhere maybe for a couple of years, but I grew up in Scotland. I do have two homes. My mom and dad are still in Scotland, so that is home. Like that's where my heart is. And I guess just now with COVID, my heart's totally breaking because I want my mum and dad here. Logically, I'm like, no, keep the borders closed because things are nice and safe and safe here, etc. And I don't really want them traveling. But my heart is going, no, but my mum and dad could just get on a plane, just put them on, they'll be fine, just get them over. So it's hard. That part is hard. But I think that's the beauty of travel. That's the beauty of living in different places, is that you get to experience so much more. You get to meet so many more people. You've got different perspectives. It's amazing. But you do leave your heart in lots of different places, which is also hard.
And I know that one thing that you often say in your personal branding stuff is that you want what's familiar. It's you know, and that sometimes that's hard to replicate, and you don't understand. And I think people in business particularly and in their day-to-day lives, they have that unconscious bias because it's familiar.
You just have to look at the expat communities wherever you are. Like in Australia, there's a Scots in Perth page, there's Poms in Perth, that kind of stuff. That although, and they buy from one another because it's familiar, they want to support their own, the locals, etc., even though we're on the other side of the world. So you do always try and replicate what is familiar, or you're attracted to what's familiar. And that's, you know, when you're building your personal brand, that's why showing up continually is important, because you start becoming familiar, and with familiarity comes trust, and with trust comes the sale, or comes the next part to the relationship or whatever it is.
Yeah, very cool. I can definitely see how that flows through. And so now you're focusing on personal branding, and I love that you have niched down into this, because it is such a massive field that hasn't really had a lot of knowledge or traction until now. But there's definitely a movement towards owning your personal brand. And even since we only met, well, within the last 12 months, and I was thinking this morning before this interview, I was thinking, what have I done with my personal branding since I've met Megan? And this is things that you probably don't even realize that it's had that effect, just from hearing you speak and picking up these little things. I'm like, wow, I've claimed my digital real estate. Like, I have emmaburdett.com.au. Yes, I do. And you know, and I'm posting more on social media because I get a bit jaded by that. But really, it's good for people to know a little bit more about who I am. And I started thinking about these things that I was doing, and I wake up in the morning, I think, what am I gonna wear today? I'll wear my branding colors. All these kind of things. So it's just really cool that you're there and you're doing that. And I guess one thing I really wanted to know from you is, What is your definition of personal branding? Because there's a lot of different views out there as to what it is exactly. But if you had to say to somebody, this is your personal brand, what does that look like to you?
Basically, it's, you know, you are a full person. You are 100% a whole person. But when you're with your family, when you're with friends, when you're with business colleagues, when you're with people you're trying to sell to, everyone, there's a different facet to you. And it doesn't mean that you change and, you know, it's like a new costume you put on and that you change dramatically. But you do have a different demeanor about you. You have a different, goal in mind when you're with the different sets of people in your life, so different parts of you will come out when you're building your personal brand. And like, I don't care what anyone says, you have a personal brand whether you like it or not. And if you don't have one, then that's an issue, because that means you're completely forgotten and it is about building your legacy, etc. But it's making sure that you, because you'll never have control over what people think, feel or say about you, which is your personal brand. Because as soon as you walk out the door, and it's the same with whether it's a corporate brand, a personal brand, anything like that, it's basically what someone else thinks, feels or says about you. And you'll never have complete control over that. But you want to get to the position where you're influencing it. And by influencing it, I mean, you're picking which part of that 100% that makes you up that you're going to share with the world. So for example, Emma, like I know that there's a lot more to you than the Emma that I see on Instagram or on Facebook, etc. Because it's not for everyone to see that 100% of you, because there's conversations that as friends we will have in closed doors, and that's totally fine, because everyone should have that. It's not about airing your dirty laundry or your clean laundry, whatever it is. But you are, you know, you're a mad keen diver, so that is part of your personal brand, and you show that through what you're doing, because hundreds, thousands of people do marketing. So how do I decide who the marketer for me is? Well, I really relate with Emma because I love diving as well. I've got something in common with you. I see you drinking gin with me, so I'm like, oh yeah, so you know, she's casual, she's fun, she doesn't mind unwinding, etc. Well, that's the kind of person I can relate to as well. Or I see her in her Annam activewear and I'm like, oh yeah, I love my activewear too. I'm also reading a book in bed with my Annam activewear on, because that's the kind of person I am. I'm thinking about exercising, but I'm really just in bed reading my book, you know. So I start relating with you. So all those little glimpses of you makes people feel like they know 100% of you, when nobody will ever know 100% of you. I don't even know we know ourselves 100%, but it's about giving out enough that someone feels so familiar with you and comfortable. And once we've got that comfort and that familiarity, we've got that trust, that's when we go to that next level. And it isn't always about the person that you're going to get the direct sale from, because it's just as important. Word of mouth is king, and you know, as a marketer, know that word of mouth is absolute king. You just need to be familiar and trusted by the right people that might have the right connections as well. So once you've got your ideal client avatar or the person that you're trying to attract, you just have to make sure that you're in the right platform for them, building your brand in a way that will actually relate to them. And also not to worry, because when every time I'm working with clients, this always comes up by about session 3. We're lucky if we get past session 3 if this hasn't come up with it. Oh, but what if such and such, these set of people over here don't like it? So what if they don't? They're not the people for you. What if I offend this person? Well, don't be offensive, but if you offend someone because they don't have the same beliefs as you, then you don't want to work with them anyway. So what does it matter if they're put off and they don't come to you? So yeah, personal branding to me is just being an authentic, I hate that word authentic because it's so overused, but it's so true. Just be authentic, be real. You're not an actor, you're not an actress, you are you. And just be comfortable with what you're bringing to the table, and be careful with who you're bringing to the table with you. So my husband Stefan is not camera shy, so being in part of my business and being in front of the camera and being on social media doesn't bother him. My really good best friends like Leslie, Flora and Nicole, they get splashed all over my social media too. Emma, you get splashed on my social media because I know that you're comfortable with that. And if you weren't, then I wouldn't do it. But you'll have friends and family members that maybe aren't as comfortable with that. So it's about getting the balance where you're not sacrificing anything else either. So that's a long-winded answer, but be authentic. Keep showing up, build familiarity so that you can build that trust, and just be okay with the fact that you will never control what people think, feel, or say about you, but you can influence it.
I literally have goosebumps. Honestly,
hang on then.
It's so true. And if you can get that right and really like just believe in it and just do it, it makes your day so much easier. You're dealing with people that you enjoy dealing with. You're not constantly feeling like you really have to try and sell and try and get people across the line. People just naturally are like, yeah, cool. Like, I just want to do business with you. And you're right. Like, everybody, so many people do the same thing. And so for you to stand out, the only thing that can make you different is you.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely need to embrace it.
100%.
It's not easy to embrace sometimes, is it? And now I'm going to use my buzzword that I can't stand is you have to be quite vulnerable sometimes.
Yes.
You do. And so I actually got caught out, I must have been about a year ago now, no longer than that because it was well before COVID. I was trying to sort of show a little bit more about me and what I do and in my spare time because I work long hours. I work, you know, hard, and quite often I go off the grid. My friends will tell you I live under a rock sometimes. But when I take time off, I like to make the most of it. And so I'm on social media and I'm posting this and that. And I had a comment come through from one of my closest friends and she said, "What's going on with you? There's all these like braggy posts." She used the term, "This is like, what's going on? These like braggy." And I was like, "What?" and that I didn't realize at the time really buffed. It just took the shine off my confidence to showcase who I am and what I like to do in my spare time. So how does one person stay strong in that situation? Do you see that happening often where people do hold back because they fear what other people might think if they start showcasing who they are?
Yeah, and that's the worst part of it is that most people are scared about what friends and family will say. And if you're trying to build a business, your friends and family, they might be referrals, they might use your service or your product, depends what it is that you've actually got. So I can't say they're not your customer, but they're generally not the only customers you're going to have. You're going to have to go much further afield, otherwise your business is going to stall. So the biggest fear people have is friends and family judging them or making comments like you've just mentioned. And the other one is their peers, so people who do the exact same thing as them. When you're putting out content, your content should be valuable. So we've talked about how it should be authentic and it should show you and, you know, the different facets of what you do. But the core of it, the main pillar, is always going to be what it is that you're actually doing and what you're selling. So for me, it's always personal branding and LinkedIn. For you, it's always marketing and business, because you're very business focused with your marketing as opposed to just SEO or, you know, you're not like that. You're very like let's grow the business. And that's what comes through in your content. And then comes all the other stuff that shows who you are. But if you're so busy worrying about what other marketers are going to say or think or see when they're looking at your content, you'll never put it out because you're worried that they're going to copy it, that they're judging it, that they're going to be talking about you. But guess what? Other marketers are not your customers. They're not the people you're trying to help. And when you put something out that's really, really basic, so say I will put a little video up that shows something on LinkedIn that's really, really simple, something that I can do in my sleep, because guess what? I'm doing it all the time. But for someone else, they would have to Google it. They'd have to look around for ages. They wouldn't even know what to Google, maybe, because sometimes you know what you want to do, but you've got no idea what to even search for it. So that little clip helps them out. Other people who are LinkedIn experts, if I'm worried about that, I might be worried thinking, oh, they're going to think I'm really basic because I'm just putting out this really simple task or whatever. Guess what? I'm not trying to help them because they know what to do. I'm trying to help that person that's just gone onto LinkedIn for the first time and is going, oh my God, how do I post something or how do I change my URL name? You know, that's the kind of person I'm trying to help. So you really have got to stop thinking about the people that might be judging you and think about the people that you can actually help and impact. It's a hard one because it's emotional. Your personal brand is yours. It's personal. So that is hard, but that's a barrier. You've just got to get over it. And that's what happens when you start doing it continually. You just go, you know what? And more, I'm helping more people than I am being judged by people who are maybe a little bit jealous as well, or just don't understand it. Yeah, that's their problem, not yours.
Yes, well, one of my favorite sayings is "you do you, boo."
Oh yes, I love that.
Gets a bit annoying sometimes, but it's true, and it works, because I mean, like, shout out to all the fan club, we've got comments coming through, you know, like 100% agree, Megan. Yes, You're awesome. Yeah, you are, Megan. Hello. And thank you for watching. We appreciate that you're watching. So it works. And I guess the last question that I had for you around personal branding specifically is, you touched on it before, right? Everybody has a personal brand. If you say you don't have a personal brand, you just haven't been able to articulate it. Right, you do. You just don't quite know what that is. So, what does that process look like when people? I know that you work with clients and coaching one-on-one basis. How do you start that process by defining what their personal brand is? Do they just find somebody that they aspire to be and be like, "Yeah, that's the personal brand I want to have"? Like, how does that look?
Well, one of my favorite sayings from Oscar Wilde is "Be yourself because everyone else is taken." So, yes, it's good to aspire to different people, but you're never going to be that person. And you don't want to be, because you are a much better version of you than you are a version of them. So I work with people by looking at their goals and reverse engineering them. So these goals will not be something like, in 3 months' time, I want this, or in 2 months' time, I want to be the CEO of this. A lot of these goals maybe will be a year. Some of them are 5-year goals, but it's about reverse engineering them so that making sure that they are in the right places, influencing the right people. Because building your personal brand, a lot of people think that it's about the Kardashians, and it's about how many likes you get on Instagram, which is so far from it. Like, yes, that's a personal brand as well, but that's a personal brand to the extreme. And you think about celebs, etc., they have strong personal brands, and that's why so many celebs do really well when they have businesses and they have products, like J-Lo with her perfume, my favorite Ryan Reynolds with his gin, which is obviously favorite for mine, but also his
tick.
I know. And he's another Canadian, you know. And Mint Mobile. I mean, if I could get Mint Mobile over here, sign me up, because again, big fan of him and of all these products and stuff. So that shows you what a strong personal brand can do when you're trying to sell something, because I trust them. I am going to buy that SIM card from him, even though it won't work here in Australia, because I trust him, that kind of thing. So, but we have to bring it all the way back, because unless we're going to be in Hollywood, we're not going to be able to reach that audience. But that doesn't matter. It's about reaching the people that do matter for what your goal is. So you might have a goal of like a political career. Then we want to actually start off by making sure that we're getting you in the room with the right people that are going to vote you in and get you a seat at the table, or get you with the right people that are going to support you, before we then put you on a stage or a platform to be able to actually get votes from people. I help with script writing. I help with telling people what I hear, because if I don't understand it, it means someone else probably doesn't understand it, because we just love jargon. It's just, we don't even know that we're using it a lot of the time, because it's just second nature to us within our industries and our sectors and our niches. We just use these words because we think everyone understands them. So a part of my job is actually stripping down what you're saying so that an 11-year-old can understand it, because we are bombarded with content all the time, so we want to make sure that it's easy, because people are lazy, people are time poor. If it's not easy to understand straight away, then you know, we're on to the next thing. So a lot of the time it's doing that. A lot of the time it's also looking at the different platforms that will work for you, whether that's online and offline or a combination of both, how that works, how they can merge together, how you can marry them up. I am all about repurposing. If I can do something in 10 minutes that otherwise would take me an hour, I'm definitely going to cut it down. Same with this podcast is a prime example. So we do this show live, so it's however long my time commitment is, however long I'm actually speaking here today, it goes live out to LinkedIn, Facebook and YouTube. And I did have the debate, does anyone watch anything live on YouTube? But anyway, it goes out there. And then it's repurposed into a podcast. So some people might be listening to us just now. And then later on, I have someone write it up. So I then have it in blog format. So there's me touching people with audio, with visual, and with being able to read it as well. So it doesn't matter how you consume content, I'm going to reach you. But that's because that's where my audience is at, and that's how I'm trying to gather them. But some of my clients, that's just not what they're looking for. It's about a much smaller group of people. So it's identifying what the goal is, identifying who's important to helping them reach that goal, looking at the platforms that will be able to help them get there. We do a 360 audit of them and what it is that actually people are thinking, feeling about them already. It's anonymous, but we look at what their maybe their past clients, their colleagues, their bosses, etc., and also family members are, what words they associate with them, what kind of what is it they actually think they do. So we do that kind of audit. There's like a massive process, and it's not one size fits all. I kind of compare it to being a personal trainer, where you could go and do it yourself. I'm just helping you with a bit of a strategy. I'm helping you use some of the machines you're not quite familiar with and making sure that you're on the right path. But it's, yeah, it's not one size fits all, because we're all so unique and individual.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not a set and forget type thing, is it? You know, it's a review, it's a staying accountable, it's keep showing up, keep doing these activities. And then I know for myself, once you start owning that and embracing it, it all flows and happens so much more naturally. So yeah, I can definitely see the value in having that coaching support, especially in the beginning. And even going forward, I can see how you still have clients that keep coming back to you because they just want to chat to you once a quarter and just touch base and get that little bit of nugget of gold out of you. Yeah. And keep building on that.
It's actually a real intimate process as well, because in some of our sessions, like, we talk about a lot of things and we work out what the blocks are as well, because that's, you know, like what you were talking about before about your friend making that comment about you being braggy, that might be the reason that you're not actually creating content and put yourself out there. So we have to work through that, and it's gentle. It's not, you know, I've never told anyone get over it and just post it. You know, it's got to be comfortable for you as well, because I want you to build habits that you're going to be able to do well into the future, way after you're finished working with me. Because that's the whole point. The same with working with a personal trainer, is that you build up these habits, you build up the knowledge, and you know how to work things. And you might have your check-ins every quarter or whatever, just, you know, like a weigh-in, I guess, just to see what's happening. But it's the bouncing ideas and the accountability. That's the part that I love, because I'll work with clients that come with ideas and we'll go, there's something there, but it's not quite right. And then by the end of the session, we're like, oh, we're going to take over the world with this. This is amazing. You know, it's just having that person that has no judgment, has nothing else other than you. Like, when I'm there with you, that is all I'm interested in, is how it's going to reach your goal and pulling away all this stuff. And I'm always there to be like, yeah, that's a great idea, but which of your goals does that fit into? Because there's like, don't overload yourself and don't dilute yourself too much. That's why I think niching is so important, because it's really easy for someone to know what it is you do. Yes, sorry.
Yeah.
I ramble about personal branding. I could just go on and on though.
I love that though, because it's just, you're just so enthusiastic and knowledgeable, and just the pure passion that you put into everything you do. I'm like, sign me up. How do I get? Good point. How does one engage you for personal branding services? Tell me about what I can do. Maybe I might not be able to do personal coaching right now. Do we have any other options in the pipeline that we can jump onto?
So I've got two options with my coaching. There's like a continual package, so it's a minimum 3 months where you work with me, or there's one off that's almost like a masterclass. And some people like to do them quarterly, and it's just a quarterly kind of catch up and, you know, do their strategy and come back again. I do a lot of LinkedIn stuff as well. So I've got my LinkedIn program, which I love, because I think LinkedIn is like the place to be right now. I think the organic reach is amazing. It's the best place to build your personal brand, especially if you're a bit of you know, people say it's smart, I say it's lazy. You don't want to create too much content, because this is a little nugget of gold. For one piece of content on LinkedIn, you need to create 3 pieces for your grid on Instagram, 2 reels, and be in your stories every day, just to get the same level of engagement as you do from one quality piece, and not just a crappy piece of content, but one quality piece of content on your LinkedIn. Like, that's a no-brainer to me, because the people I'm working with, they're, you know, they're busy people, and content creation is not their jam. Like, they're not sitting there with their iPhones going, hello, good morning, you know, outfit of the day. Like, that's not their jam. So being able to create one piece of quality content on LinkedIn, that's massive. So my LinkedIn program, you can get all this on my website. There's the LinkedIn program that you can do self-paced anytime, or there's one-on-one coaching with me. That's pretty much it, because I'm really niched and I just do personal branding with a speed of LinkedIn.
How easy is that? Love it. I love it. And I will vouch for the LinkedIn program. That's actually how I met you in the first place. Somebody said, hey, there's this person doing LinkedIn, you've got to get on it. And I did. And yeah, so many quick things. Like you've said before, you think that it's easy, but for people who aren't on LinkedIn all day, every day, living and breathing it, it's just the small things. And you give such clear and concise guidance to just go and do it. It's very actionable stuff. So big fan of the program. Jump on. If you haven't done it already, jump on, because it's not even that expensive. We're going to work on putting that price up.
Thanks, Emma.
Hey, well, look, I feel like I've really quizzed you. I think that's probably enough of the questions. Before we go, I just have to say, like, show us your fingernails. Like, what kind of, we've got some paint on there?
On brand.
Branded. On brand, love it, all the time, every time.
When you're looking to like have your branded colors though, like even if you've not got making a logo or having making a company or whatever, because I work with people who are actually employed and it's just about positioning themselves, but we always want to have like a flash of color that's theirs. Pick a color you love, like, because it's so much easier to be able to integrate that into stuff, whether it's just something you're wearing or your nails or whatever. Don't pick a color that you think is cool and fancy or it's the Pantone color of the year, because you're going to get sick of it. I picked teal because I love teal. I wear teal. I love being surrounded by it. I love the water. Like, I love all your, like, Emma is an amazing underwater photographer and like all those lovely teals that you get from when like you're in Rottnest and stuff. So yeah, pick a color that actually resonates with you and that you love, because you're going to be stuck with it for a while.
Yeah, no, it's good. Valid point. Hey, thank you for your time today. It has been wonderful being on the other side of things and getting to hear everything that you have to share. It's very cool, and I'm sure everybody will jump on and watch this when they can. So that's all from me for today, and I look forward to seeing how things go and hearing more about the work you're doing with your clients.
Thank you so much, Emma. This was daunting, but we got there and I actually enjoyed it.
Is this where the production team come in and do their work? I don't know how this works.
Thanks so much for listening to Personal Branding Exposed. If you enjoyed this episode or any of the others, then please listen to some more, but also share it with your friends and leave a review. I'm a pretty new podcast, so that means quite a lot for me, and I really appreciate your kind words. Social media, if you have any feedback or you just want to chat, really, send me a message. I'm normally found on Instagram or LinkedIn. They're where I like to hang out, but I do have Facebook if that's your thing. And also on the website, you can get my details there and you can get in touch. Thank you so much for getting this far. If you want a little bit more though, these episodes actually go out live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Western Standard Time here in Western Australia at 8 p.m. which if you're in Canada or America, that'll be first thing in the morning for you, so you can listen over your morning coffee. And if you're in the UK, it'll be over your lunch break. I speak to these amazing people every single Tuesday, and they just expose their personal brands to us. They tell us what makes them tick, what motivates them. We hear their stories of where they've come from and where they are now and how they got there. There's loads you can take from this, lots of motivation and inspiration. Like, these people are awesome and they've really niched down. They know what it is that they're doing, so there's so much to take away from them. I have got this amazing lineup of people coming up, so make sure it's in your diary, 8 p.m. Western Standard Time. And the podcast drops every Wednesday. Till next time.